Praise God. I think the reason why Islam was on my heart this morning is back in the back on the table, there's a booklet there that comes from Horizons International. If you remember, we had George Husne here back in November, and George shared for a couple days on Islam and what was going on. And this little booklet is a product of his ministry, and it talks about what's going on in every country that Horizons is involved in. And it's very inspiring to see what's going on in Muslim countries, how God is at work winning the Muslims to Christ. So I just encourage you to pick up a copy. Each family pick up a copy of that and look it over. And it's even got Dan's picture in there. So it's Dan was in Pakistan, and it's got him. He was praying for people in Pakistan. So we're actively, my family's actively involved in Muslim ministry. So that's why it was on my heart. And I believe God is reaching out to the Muslims and touching their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, visiting them. Amen. Well, today we're looking at reset. That's the emphasis. And we're going to try to take some of this out of Matthew 11, some of the most beautiful word in Scripture from the Lord Jesus, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Now, I'm going to read this, and then I may just read it again, because I like the Scriptures to get into your thinking, get into your mind as we discuss this. But let's read it. It's just three verses. It says, this is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, help us to understand what you were saying to us here. Help us open our hearts up and open up the word to our understanding, Lord God, as well as our spirit. And let it move us, Lord God, in a direction you want to take us as we start a new year, Lord God. May we set some boundaries in our life. May we set some direction in our life, Lord God, as we come to you, Lord Jesus. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's one of the most comforting, I think, one of the most comforting statements in Scripture. Because Jesus isn't saying to us, come and do better. Come and get rid of this. Come and take on this. He's not saying, come and practice a new religion. He's not saying to add something, you know, to your life here. He's just saying, come to me. Come to me. And if you come to me, I'll sort things out for you. You know, that's a restful thought, isn't it? If we just keep coming to him every day, come to him every day. I know sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes we're probably doing as we drive down the road. Sometimes we're doing in a rush to get the kids somewhere. But, you know, there has to be this constant coming to him. He made that sort of like a priority thing for us. Come to me. Now, as I was studying this, I began to realize that Jesus was saying something to the people in this particular statement. When he's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, what he's saying is there's burdens placed upon you. And he was actually talking to the religious crowd, which everybody in that day, Jews were very religious. And it was religion that was wearing them down. In fact, let me get my phone out here. I got my other Bibles in here, so please understand that. I didn't bring them all with me. But I thought it was very interesting. In the Amplified Version, it says like this in 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals. I lost my place. By religious rituals that provide no peace. You know, we can say, yeah, those Jews did a lot of that. You know what? We do too, don't we? A lot of religious rituals that don't give you anything. Jesus said, come to me. Forget about the rituals. Forget about all the stuff you're supposed to do and come to me. Let me sort this out. The weariness of doing it in our own righteousness. That's kind of what I believe he was talking about. Trying to do things to make us right with God, trying to do things to give us the peace of God in our own righteousness. And the reason I say that is because later on, some of the things Jesus says in this verse, see, when you come to Jesus with your heavy ladenness, those things melt away. When you just get a hold of him, he becomes our rest. Now, in verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. I think this, I was up early this morning, and I wasn't settled in this thought of him being gentle and humble. So I tried to look that up, and I don't know Greek, but somebody knows it, and I like to read what they got to say. And I've done a lot of that, and I've got a lot of those books that do that. Did you know that the concept of gentle and the concept of humble was a new concept in those days? Being gentle or meek. Some Bibles put meek there. And that was a whole new word, meek. You know, when Jesus said, blessed are the meek, they didn't quite understand what that was. That was a new concept, and it was developed under Christianity. And so was humility. Humbleness was developed under Christianity, the word for humble. They didn't have a humble word. And it's still difficult to interpret what those two words mean, gentle and humble. Now, I'm going to give it a shot here, what it says, what they said. It's a conjunction of a couple other things, but to be humble means you have to recognize there's a God that created everything and that you are a sinful, low person. Well, now, Jesus wasn't sinful, but the Bible says that he identified himself with us. He identified himself with our humanity. And so in Jesus being humble, he was saying, I know that God's the creator, and I'm underneath that, and I'm very low when it comes to God. Do you get a feel for that? And it's like out of humility we're able to operate. It's out of that humility we're able to function. And Jesus said, that's who I am, and you're going to have to learn from me. Learn from me. It's kind of like when he came, I love this scripture about where Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I will make you fishers of men. I like that word, make. He was talking to guys who knew how to fish, and he was telling them, you don't know how to fish for men. You know how to fish for fish, but you do not know how to fish for men. And a lot of times we just assume we know how to do all that. And I tell you what, I'm still learning how to fish for men. And I've been in a lot of places where there's a lot of different kind of people, and I have to learn new things every time I get around people. I don't want to get into all that because I could talk all day on that kind of stuff. But the fact that gentleness was a new concept, and it's a mixture of a couple different ideas about. Now, the idea of meekness, okay? We've used the definition, a war horse under control, okay? It's a war horse under control, all right? How do you get that to happen? You have to teach a horse how to be a war horse under control, right? I think I've used this illustration before. I've heard it somewhere. You know, years ago, they used to pull fire trucks with horses. You know that a horse's greatest fear is fire? Did you know that? A horse's greatest fear is fire. Okay? They had to train those horses, those big horses that pulled those water carriers that took water to the fire. They had to train those horses to stand there next to the fire while they sprayed water on it. That doesn't come natural for a horse. I read one instance where those horses, they would have to spray them down with water to keep their flesh from burning. But those horses would not move. They would stand there and let their flesh blister because they were trained to stand there until someone put out the fire. Now, that's a horse that's under control. And Jesus basically was saying, I have all this power. I have great power and authority, but it's under control. That's what meekness is. Okay? I have that in my notes. But now, here's a paradox. Take my yoke upon you. I had a little thing written in the sideline. This concept of having a yoke. Jesus was using a parallel. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and those people, well, mainly the Pharisees, because they were real sticklers for the law, there was a concept of being under the yoke of the law. Okay? The yoke of the law meant you were doing your thing to be obedient to the law. Under the yoke of the law. You know, that was kind of a proud thing to be under. I'm under the yoke of the law. I'm being obedient to the law. You know, it was a proud thing to be under the yoke of the law. Well, Jesus does a play on that and says, take my yoke upon you. He was challenging them to discipleship. Be a disciple of mine. Take my yoke upon you. And the thing is, a yoke doesn't sound like something to give you rest. It sounds like work to me. If you put on a yoke, you're going to work. Has anyone ever seen a yoke before? I didn't say joke. I meant yoke. You seen a yoke? When I was down in Mexico many years ago, we went out in the jungle. It was in the mountains, and there was an old guy out there. He had a bunch of banana trees, and he couldn't keep the birds from wrecking his banana trees. So he asked us to pray over his banana trees that the birds wouldn't wreck his banana trees. You know, this is called practical Christian living here. Okay, so we went out there to pray that these birds would quit tearing up his blossoms on his bananas so that the bananas could come on that year. And I don't know if I can't remember if we ever got back with him if it worked, but I believe it did because we were believing that God was going to help him so he could have his bananas. But while we were there, he pulled something out of an old shed. It was a wooden yoke. A wooden yoke. I'd never seen one. I'd heard about them. But, you know, it had a collar and then a straight piece, and then another collar. And my friend Pat, we had driven down. We had a van that trip. We didn't take an airplane. We drove all the way down there. That's another story there. But anyway, we had the van. So Pat, he gave that yoke to Pat, and Pat brought that back to the United States because he was so impressed with it. It was made out of the beautiful cedar that the Mexican people like to make a lot of their furniture out of. It was made out of that cedar, and Pat was going to fix it up and hang it up somewhere. I remember that. But it was a big yoke. It had a curve and then another curve like that that they put on their animals, you see? And that was a yoke. And what was interesting about that yoke is that when you're under it, Jesus is under it with you. Take my yoke, my yoke. It isn't like this is a yoke over here that's separate from Jesus. Jesus is saying, I have this yoke on me. You come up here with me and we'll walk together under this yoke. You get that idea? You get that concept? It isn't like you're out here alone walking under a yoke. Jesus is yoked together with you. Everybody will go, uh-huh. That's why it's easy. That's why it's light. Because he's with you. You're not alone under the yoke of Jesus. You see, when we get out there alone and we're trying to do things in our own strength and in our own way, it is a burden and it is heavy and it is difficult. But Jesus was inviting us to carry his yoke with him and to walk with him. And that's why he said, come to me. Verse 30 says, my yoke is easy and my load is light. That word easy wasn't an easy word to translate, but you can use other words for that word. Some of those words are like useful. Some of those words are, it fits. It fits you. That made a lot of sense to me. The yoke that Jesus gives us fits us. Okay? Now, I don't know that much about yokes, but I did do a little searching on that. And a lot of times when you got a big old cow or a horse, you know, horses aren't all the same width, you know. And if you're going to use a wooden yoke, well, then you want to make that yoke to fit that animal. You measure that animal and you make a yoke that will fit it, and it would be it fits it between the shoulder blades, and it fits it in such a way that when he pulls, it pulls, but it doesn't tear his flesh. It doesn't chafe him and rub him raw. But sometimes you have to let him use it for a while to see how it's working on him, and you rework it. You know, Jesus is saying, what I'm going to give you will fit you, and you'll be the most useful as you're under my yoke with me. I think when Jesus says this too, I think he just wants to keep it relational. You know, he wants to keep this relationship with us where we are with him, together with him. It's not that we're separated from him, but he's with us. I think that's a neat thought. It's about you, and it's about him. So in conclusion, as we go into this new year, let's think about daily coming to Jesus, coming to him every day, saying, Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am. I want to walk with you. You probably won't even notice the yoke or the load, because once you come to him and he gives you the provisions that he's got for you and I as believers, it'll be an easy thing. It'll be a light thing to just walk with him and do the things that he asks you to do. The only reason they would get hard is because you refuse to be yoked with him and you want to go and just do those things on your own. You know, I've practiced a lot of evangelism over the years, and I've been discouraged sometimes by the way we do evangelism. It's like we don't consult the Lord on how to do the evangelism. We just come up with our own ideas about evangelism, and then when they fail, we kind of wonder, what'd we do? What happened? God was supposed to meet us there. And you know, God is the Lord of the harvest, right? He's the Lord of the harvest. He knows how to harvest. He knows where to harvest, when to harvest. He knows all of that. I think a lot of evangelism has to start with him. You know, we were talking about God send revival. I think a lot of that plea is the Lord, train me, teach me how to be there where I'm supposed to be when you send revival. I know where to be. I think we need in the new year to recognize our need to be yoked together with Christ. Christ promised us rest and quiet when we're yoked together with him. He promised us that it would be easy. His load's not a burdensome thing. And if we find ourselves out there where things are getting burdensome, they're chafing us, things are not right, we might want to check and see what yoke we're under. What yoke are we pulling? And the thing is, we want to be yoked with him. We want to be with him in this thought of resetting. What reset means to go back to something original, right? Would that be a definition for reset? I don't know. That's what we're supposed to talk to reset. Is to go back to something that's original. And I think what Jesus is saying here, come to me, that's original. He didn't say, go to the scriptures. I mean, after all, he told the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures thinking that in them you'll have salvation, but you refuse to what? Come to me. He said, you refuse to come to me. And the thing is, we need to come to him. And I'm believing he has prepared a yoke for each one of us that when he slips it on us and he's walking beside us, we won't even notice that it's a yoke because it's not a burden. It's light and it's serviceable and it's good. So I'm going to pray. But I believe the only action that's necessary here is to come to him. And he'll take it from there. Just come to him. And I mean that seriously. I don't mean it's like magic or anything like that. But it's when you come to him and you really want to come to him, you get into his word. You'll get into the things that he's asked us to do. You'll get into that. But it won't be difficult because you're with him. I know I keep saying it over and over again. Probably hear me say it again before the year's over with. But I think that's it. The important part is making yourself available to Jesus, saying, come to me. He's saying, come to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today.